Job starts.
Okay, so it's a pleasure to be here and see so many friends, and most of you know more about online learning than I do. Being at Disney World and seeing how you're seated, though, makes me realize there's one thing that Disney does that we should all do when we develop new technology platforms for at least buildings, and that is, if you've been in some of their rides, you come in and sit down, and then they press a button, and suddenly the people in the back, their chairs are moved up to the front, and you don't have any choice. I really think we need to build buildings like that so that we can do it. What I want to talk about just very briefly is the idea of how we can frame for online learners, and I include myself on that because this is still a new area, how we can frame the opportunity for them. So how can they see it as an opportunity as opposed to, oh boy, I got stuck with some non-face-to-face course, which some people talk about. One of my inspirations for framing comes from a great fifth grade teacher I worked with in Iowa, Myrna Cooney, who was working with a group of students who were using Brighter and Scartamelia's knowledge forum. So they're using a lot of technology in class. Knowledge forum was just coming out. It was very buggy and it was crashing, and the kids were getting like really down on things. Oh man, do we have to use this again? So she went home and edited together these little pictures. You probably see them, of airplanes kind of crashing. Someone tries it and crash, and then they try the six-wing airplane and it crashes. And she said, so what do you think of these people? And they were pioneers. So that's what we are. We are pioneers who get an opportunity to help these people invent better technology. And so the kids then started to be able to generate bug lists and send them back. So just how they framed that had a huge effect on the degree to which students were willing to enter into things, how they thought about themselves, their kind of co-designers and so forth. So in that spirit, there's a couple things that I think could be helpful for our students to know. The first is to help them differentiate between course-based formal learning and informal learning, and to realize that most of the learning we do in the world is going to be pretty much informal, not just in a course. Probably 95% of what we learn in our lifetime is that. So one of the things that occurred to me is this was set up, Jan set this up, with, in a sense, informal online learning for this whole panel. And he nudged us in ways that said, we want you to generate questions first, and we did that. Then everybody wrote little things. We all learned from one another. It wasn't taking the course, but it had aspects of formal learning to it, in the sense that there's a deadline, we need to come here. We have a very, very persistent, knowledgeable little no-bot that reminds us of when deadlines are due and so forth. And it had a huge effect on preparing all of us. And it worked, even though, I mean, I didn't really know. I'd met Jan, for 20 seconds. I didn't necessarily know the other people. But I could see that, you know, he had brought in people with really diverse expertise on this. You could see that, boy, this is really going to be, you know, we have a common goal and an ideal learning experience. So just the idea of how we set this up was informal learning online. And one of the things I try to help my students understand is, you know, don't assume that just because, you know, don't assume that all online learning is course-based. If you don't learn to learn online, for the 21st century, you're really going to be out of luck. And so you may prefer face-to-face, but you've got to learn also for your own good in this changing world to develop in other areas as well. So I think that's one thing. Help them just realize the pervasive nature of technology in all our lives, and that, in a sense, an online course helps prepare you for all that lifelong learning and informal learning that's going to go on. So that's one thing. The second is to help them differentiate between implicit learning and explicit learning. So explicit learning is what we intentionally try to teach, and of course that's important. But many people are starting to say that what gets learned implicitly, quote, the hidden curricula, may be extremely important as well. And there's even different brain pathways we know for implicit learning and memory versus explicit. But a simple example is why I think Jan mentioned it. The gender non-equality here is that this is an opportunity for implicit learning. When people come in and see a gender imbalance, they walk away. with an implicit assumption about things like, oh, males are more into this than females or something like that. And so helping people make the implicit explicit is very important. The part of that then that is really important is a lot of people have one experience in an online course or two or three that may not be ideal, but to them, that's online learning. And so we have to help them realize, just as for face-to-face learning, that this experience you had is a subset of the range of possibilities that are available, and we need to help them come to understand then that they probably develop stereotypes and opinions and so forth implicitly, and we would like to help them more explicitly be able to see the range of options that are in front of them. The third thing I wanted to talk about, besides informal, formal, and implicit, explicit, is just the extra benefits that technology can provide that really benefit regular class-to-class discussions. So if you've ever used these little personal response systems in face-to-face classes, for example, you can get great anonymous responses very inexpensively to what a professor asks, and it can really open up discussion. Now, the problem with that is if people didn't get it as well as you would like, what do they do after that? So there's new software. The Vanderbilt Bioengineering Group has developed the CAPE system, for example, that lets you track what happens in a class, connect it to what happens out of class. It can help me assign homework, help me give immediate feedback. And you can start to migrate that all online as well. So just there are a lot of advantages over what we normally do that we need to help students see as possible, and that we need to help ourselves see as something that we should do as well. And one example, another example is my colleague John Bourne, who's done a lot on online learning, and he developed these KnowBots, KnowBots, because a lot of students were not turning in assignments online. And so the little KnowBot would come in and say, hey, I noticed you haven't posted yet, and the assignment's due in an hour. Are you okay? You feeling all right? Do you want to talk to me? And did this automatically. Now, Jan was our KnowBot for all our work. And he did a great, really good job. But if there's, 500 of us or 1,000 of us, I think even Jan probably couldn't keep up. But a lot of things that can be done this way. So that just takes me back then to Myrna Cooney and the idea of how can we help ourselves and our students develop an attitude towards online learning that's really positive and sees it in its positive light. And one is to help them see that, well, we really would like you to help us be co-designers. So there's lots of options. If things aren't working for you, let us know. In my courses, I do all kinds of mid-course corrections based on great feedback from students, and let them take that attitude. And I want to end with just one story about the power of bringing in students as part of our audience, because they have different technology experiences from us. And it started out with the agricultural extension schools here in the U.S. And when people were training young college students to get really much to learn about fertilizer and hybrid corn, non-hybrid corn, and crop rotations. This is what universities were doing as service to the farming community. Then these university kids would go out, and they would actually live often in a farming community and try to help the farmers do better. And often they ran into resistance, just like we do with people doing regular teaching and don't want to go online teaching. And the farmers are going, come on, I've been farming for three decades. What, this little college kid's going to tell me how to change? So what they did is invented ways to bring the youth into the picture, and they invented 4-H, Future Farmers for America. And now you have the young kids who were tasked with doing design experiments, and actually experimental experiments. The parents would give them a piece of land. They might come in and grow fertilized corn, non-fertilized corn in this plot, hybrid corn, non-hybrid corn. It's where split plot designs came from in statistics. And they invented the county fairs, which at that point were really big showcases for the innovative work that the kids did. And we, of course, could do the equivalent of county fairs online. But just this idea of creating a community of co-designers that work together. Obviously, we as adults have some knowledge that our students don't have. The farmers had some knowledge that the young college kids didn't have. But this idea of creating a co-design seems to be a perfectly timed opportunity given the world in which we live today. So, thank you.
Thank you, John. actually forgot to mention, John is from the University of Washington in Seattle. Before that, Vanderbilt, but I presume you're